Literaturpalast Audiospur. Geschichten aus Südosteuropa. Präsentiert von Traduki.
Ich begrüße Sie ganz herzlich zu diesem Gesprächsformat, in dem ich mich heute mit der bulgarischen Schriftstellerin Zdravka Eftimova unterhalten möchte. Sie gehört in ihrer Heimat zu den bekanntesten Autorinnen und wurde in zahlreiche Sprachen übersetzt. Schon frühzeitig erschienen ihre Bücher beispielsweise in den USA und in Kanada. Die deutschsprachigen Leserinnen und Leser mussten sich eine ganze Weile gedulden. Nun liegt aber endlich auch eine Auswahl ihrer Erzählungen auf Deutsch vor. Der Band Maulwurfsblut, übersetzt von Andreas Tretner, Elvira Baumann-Nassonova und Alexander Sitzmann, ist im Frühjahr 2024 im Berliner Ether Verlag erschienen. Wir nehmen heute zwar in getrennten Räumen an unterschiedlichen Orten auf, Frau Eftimova im bulgarischen Ort Pernik, ich in Wien, aber wir haben uns neulich auch persönlich kennengelernt und zwar in der mazedonischen Hauptstadt Skopje beim dortigen Bookstar Festival. Sie war als Autorin eingeladen und ich war Teil eines Fellowship-Programms. Liebe Zdravka, ich freue mich sehr, dass Sie heute mein Gast sind und sende liebe Grüße gern Bulgarien. Hallo.
Hallo, liebe Freunde. Ich bin sehr glücklich, dass ich die Möglichkeit habe, mit Ihnen zu sprechen und zu begrüßen.
Ja, Zdravka Eftimova spricht Deutsch, bräuchte aber wenig Übung, um ein längeres Gespräch über ihre Arbeit auf Deutsch zu führen, wie sie mir in Skopje erzählt hat. Daher werden wir uns im Podcast dann gleich auf Englisch unterhalten. Zunächst aber einige Informationen zur Autorin und zu ihrem Buch Maulwurfsblut. Zdravka Eftimova wurde 1959 im bulgarischen Pernik geboren, wo sie auch heute lebt. Sie studierte Anglistik in Veliko Ternovo und in St. Louis, Missouri, arbeitete für die Bulgarische Akademie der Wissenschaften, zudem viele Jahre lang auch als Übersetzerin, Dolmetscherin und Lektorin im bulgarischen Verteidigungsministerium. Unterrichtet heute kreatives Schreiben an der Universität Sofia und arbeitet für das Bildungsministerium für das Projekt Untold Stories of Bulgaria. Seit Mitte der 80er Jahre erschienen von ihr 5 Romane und 5 Erzählbände, für die sie zahlreiche Preise und Stipendien erhielt. Darüber hinaus wurde sie 2021 vom Publikum des bulgarischen nationalen Fernsehens BNT zur beliebtesten Autorin des Landes gewählt. Gerade mit ihren Erzählungen ist sie auch international erfolgreich. In über 30 Ländern sind ihre Short Stories bereits erschienen. Besonders interessant, wie ich finde, ihr Text Maulwurfsblut, der dem deutschen Erzählband im Ether Verlag den Titel verleiht, wurde sowohl in Dänemark als auch in den USA in Englischlehrbücher aufgenommen und für den Literaturunterricht empfohlen. Empfehlen möchte ich Ihnen, liebe Hörerinnen und Hörer, aber auch alle anderen Geschichten des nun auf Deutsch erhältlichen Erzählbandes. Das Buch versammelt auf knapp 190 Seiten 21 Kurzgeschichten, eine Auswahl aus 3 Bänden der Autorin, Maulwurfsblut von 2005, Pernik-Geschichten oder Geschichten aus Pernik von 2013 und Geschichten im Juli oder Juli-Geschichten aus dem Jahr 2017. So unterschiedlich die Texte auch sind, lassen sich dennoch einige Gemeinsamkeiten herausstreichen. So spielen die meisten Erzählungen des Bandes in und um Pernik, Geburtsort und Lebensmittelpunkt der Autorin. Die Stadt, in der um die 66.000 Menschen leben, liegt im Westen Bulgariens, so 30 Kilometer von Sofia Luftlinie entfernt. Im Zentrum stehen häufig Frauen, deren Leben weder in finanzieller noch in romantischer Sicht von Erfolg gekrönt scheint. Sie werden ausgebeutet und misshandelt vom Partner, so es denn einen gibt, betrogen und verlassen. Opfer sind sie aber nie, auch wenn das Geld stets knapp ist und am Ende nur die Flucht nach vorn bleibt. So, und dann wechseln wir doch ins Englische. So we're going to switch into English now.
Yeah.
Zdravka, I just talked about your biography and gave a very brief introduction to your work. Talking about Maulwurfsblut, I mentioned that you usually deal with, I would say, so-called ordinary people, often women, people struggling with their lives, sometimes outsiders. And I also read that in lots of your stories, you talk about the Roma community. Have these characters always been of interest to you, also when you started writing?
They have not only always, they are with me all the time. I have grown up very close to a Roma community. I have played with Roma kids When I was young, I did not have many friends. So, because we lived at the end of the town, so I wanted to play with Roma kids. And they told me, no, we don't want you to play with us because you're not a Roma kid. So I said, but I know very interesting stories. I will tell you these stories. And they told me, I was quite young, I was 5 or 6 or 7. And I said, okay, they told me, tell us a story. If we like the story you tell us, you will play with us. If we don't like the story, we will throw you in the river. There was a very small river, which was full of mud. 3 or 4 times I went home all dirty with mud. Mud all over my place, my clothes. Because the stories I told them were not interesting to them. But I have never heard about Scheherazade. Yet I invented a thing. I told a story up to the middle. So they say, oh, come on, give us the rest, give us the rest. And I say, okay, I'll give you the rest tomorrow. So very slowly, within 3 months, I became friends with them, so good friends, that I have begun loving these people. I even started to understand their language, not very well, but I could understand if they called me bad names or if they said I was a good girl or a beautiful girl. So it was very interesting. Ordinary people, you say, yes, by ordinary people, I understand people who achieve what they achieve by the strength of their hands and by the power of their minds. These are people I admire. They do not give up. And what I most admire is their desire for their children to get a very good education.
Mm-hmm.
They would do the impossible so that the little girl or the little boy would learn to read very well, to make calculations, and later on to become an expert in a sphere. Especially their desire is to have a doctor of medicine in their family. It is a pride, an issue of pride for most of the families I know. It is because medicine and health go hand in hand. And these people, these young children, when they grow up and graduate and become doctors of medicine, they usually return to their places of birth to just help people they know restore to good health. They decrease the territory of pain and give help to people. We have a proverb in Bulgarian. What you have put in your mind will wait for you in the future. It will either give you a good road and lead you to a good place, or you will then end up in the mud. You'll end up in the mud.
Mm-hmm. And you were literally put in the mud as a child. So you were
many times
very, very early experience with harsh literary critics.
Well, this literary criticism that covered my face and clothes with mud was working very well.
Mm-hmm.
And now it gives me a taste of how you should treat your readers.
Mm-hmm.
You know that they buy your books and they give hard-earned money for your books. So you should not betray them. You should not lie to them. And I know that in order not to lie, you should never bend low to a cause you do not believe in. You should never write with admiration for a cause you do not accept as your own. If you do that, you feel that the talent that universe, some people call God, has given you, this talent dies when you write lies. Just to be liked by somebody at a very high position. But you have to write about what gives a community, what gives people you know, what gives pain and make people you know suffer. I think that suffering opens all eyes. And when you write about suffering in an honest way, not trying to ingratiate yourself into a high-paying position, is the true way of putting life into your books.
So you started telling stories at a very young age, as you just said. Did you also start writing stories at a young age?
I was very much discouraged to write by my mother, who was an accountant, and who said, "We are all honest people in this family. I won't put up with any lies. You better study to become a doctor. It is a profession, as a doctor and as a teacher of young children, that I admire." And when one of the famous Bulgarian poetesses, Stanka Pencheva, she was an editor for Bulgaria Literary Magazine, I was 18 when I brought her two of my short stories. I have written them in a pen. I did not have a typewriter, and my mother blankly refused to give me her typewriter. So Stanka Pencheva, the editor and the famous poet, said, "Girl, you have to buy a typewriter." I went home and I told my mom, "Mom, Stanka Pencheva, you know, she's a good poetess. Stanka Pencheva says, you should buy me a typewriter." And my mom said, "Listen what? If Stanka Pencheva said so, let Stanka Pencheva buy you a typewriter. I will not spend any money to keep fools in my family." And she said, "If you want a typewriter, go and pick, I don't know how you call it in German, in Bulgarian, it is trunka, it is hip, rose hip, you know? You make tea with it." He said, "Go and pick hips and just sell them and buy yourself a typewriter." So I went and picked four very big bags. And the money I earned were not enough for my typewriter. So I told my mom, my father, "Dad, please help me, give me 40 leva, which is about 20 euro. Give me the 40 leva to buy a typewriter." And she said, "Your mother will catch us," because mother held the money. But he gave me 40 leva. I bought the typewriter, and she stopped him the brandy money she gave him for a month. So my poor father remained without his brandy and his friends for a month and a half. He always supported me, and he was very happy when my first book was published. My mom said, "You make her a loser. Writers never have enough money for their families."
So even when your first book was published, your mother was not happy with it.
My mom was not happy. And something very interesting happened. I won a competition when I was 18, let's call 19. It was a big literary award. And they did not know me. They called my mom. And they said that the prize was 1,000 leva. It was a big money for that time. And my mom said, "You make a mistake. Don't give my daughter the money. She will spend the money. And I will not give anything back to you." So finally, it became clear that I really have won the prize. And my mom said, "Okay, you will spend the money, so I'll keep it for you." And the money ended by buying a bicycle. I bought a bicycle for me. Whatever you answer, my mom, you have to work, and you have to work hard. So she believed that if you write, you have to write at night, when it is up to you to write or not to write. Because writing do not fills your belly, and writing does not put bread on the table. So I went on writing, and she said, "You're hopeless. You won't become a decent human being. I hope that one of your children, if you ever have children, will become a doctor." I'm very grateful to her for being so, not harsh, I would call severe with me, because I've got accustomed to working hard at night, which helps very much.
besides all these struggles, you continued writing and you started publishing?
It's not struggles. It was something very useful for mine, for me, because it was very good to write things that gave you pain, that make you weak, or things you cannot change by going telling to the person, do that or don't do that. You write it and you let people live in you what you write. The characters that live in your short stories or novels have no boss.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I like so much. I have never been a boss. And this is the reason why I like let people live in the way they understand they should live.
So you started writing and publishing your books, and you started, I think you published the first in the mid-80s, I think?
My first book was in 1984 or 85, somewhere there. And my second book was after Bulgaria started its transition to democracy.
Correct. So you published the first one before this transition, during socialism and the People's Republic of Bulgaria. And because we were talking about the topics and issues you are writing about, also social issues or injustices, was the situation like kind of similar to East Germany, where certain stories were wanted and others were not so much appreciated? What was the literary world like in Bulgaria in the 80s?
Well, there were writers and poets who readily wrote about the Communist Party, and they won literary awards, and they had very good editorial positions, and their salaries were very good.
Mm-hmm.
And in my belief, it is the shortest way to abolishing your talent.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sorry for these people. Despite the very good money and the very good publishing opportunities they had. Some of these people had great talent, but that talent died because I believe that literary talent can develop if you write what you believe is right. And they wrote just for the money and for the position. And to see a talented person deliberately saying and writing lies is such a humiliating experience. That is the reason I prefer to have additional job where I work with the knowledge I have accumulated at the university and with what I have learned from experience, rather than write things that I hate.
At the Bookstar Festival in Skopje, where we met, your Bulgarian publisher Manol Pekov was also a guest. And I had the impression that you know each other quite well and have a very close relationship. He also talked about his publishing house, Jeanette 45, which his mother founded in Plovdiv in, I think, 1989. And he said that his publishing house is so important and relevant today because it has focused on contemporary Bulgarian authors from the very beginning, although after the end of socialism, after the transition or during the transition in the 90s, people weren't really interested in literature from Bulgaria. Can you tell us something about this period of time, how the literary scene changed and what this meant for you as a person and as a writer?
There were some, let us say, 5 or 7 years that Bulgarian writers were not desired and their books were not sought by the readers. We were very avid to read everything that came from the West because we were stopped from reading what Western writers have created in terms of literary achievements. We were allowed to read just what the censorship allowed us to read. So, after the Berlin Wall fell, we were very avid. We wanted to read everything that came to us. And we read many things, so it was just eye-opening. Now the situation gradually changed, and Bulgarians would like to read and do read Bulgarian authors because they would like to see how life is interpreted, is described by the writers and poets, because literature is a very strong and powerful tool in forming one's willpower, in educating the young people, and in forming the feeling of respect for high achievement of every other nation in the world. By reading Bulgarian writers, Bulgarian readers can compare and can evaluate and find the place for Bulgarian poets and writers.
Mm-hmm. So you publish novels and short stories, and I have the impression that you are particularly well known and appreciated abroad for your stories, for your short stories. Do you have some kind of preference regarding the literary form, or are both novels and short stories equally important to you too? So you don't really want to decide. It's both forms you stick to.
It depends on my free time. A short story is a literary form that can be made within 2 hours or 3 hours in the night.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the reason that I prefer short stories, because of very limited free time I have. I can write a short story at the train station, at a cafe, while a novel you need at least a month, 2 months, 3 months. And then you go to work, you meet people, and then you go on with the novel, but, you know, the feeling for the characters is lost.
Uh-huh.
It is not so much the storyline that is lost. It is the warmth or the hate you have for the characters that is lost on you.
So I probably ask this because, of course, there are lots of authors writing short stories, but there are not as many as people writing novels, or at least publishing novels. So when it comes to the short story, do you see yourself in some kind of literary tradition, or do you have authors that have influenced your writing?
The sort of inspiration is a Bulgarian short story writer, Yordan Yovkov,
mm-hmm.
a wonderful writer, my father's favorite. When we were young, he used to tell me Yordan Yovkov's short stories by heart. His favorite short story, my father's favorite short story by Yordan Yovkov, was The Younger Sister. It is about a horse that has to be killed because it was believed it was sick. They killed the horse, but it turned out it was a healthy animal.
Mm-hmm.
It is a wonderful short story. Of course, I like Chekhov's short stories, Hemingway's short stories, but my favorites are the Bulgarian short story writers, Yordan Yovkov, and another favorite, Elin Pelin. They are writers I have grown up with from a very early age. Of course, I read many short stories. Margaret Atwood, I have translated many, many short stories for Bulgarian literary magazines like Savremennik, and I admire Carson McCullers, Annie Proulx. Many short stories I read, and I always keep my admiration for the writers that succeed to put life into a short story,
mm-hmm.
and make a short story living, make a short story a piece of writing that will live on despite the death of the author.
Poetry, short stories, or just anything that is not a novel is usually less popular in the German-speaking world. Sometimes you cannot even find these books in bookshops. Is the situation different in Bulgaria? Because usually it's pretty much the same. Or are short stories more popular in Bulgaria? What would you say?
You cannot say which is more popular. It depends on the content. Usually the publishers more readily publish novels. But short stories have their own devoted readers. Mm-hmm. Not so many like the readers of novels. The situation with poetry is very different in Bulgaria. Many people write poetry, and poetry is very, very popular. Well, poets will never get rich like the short story writers, but the poems they write are very well known by many people, especially now using the social media, Facebook. We have wonderful poets, young poets, that are known, very well known, like Georgi Konstantinov, Ivan Langev, Petya Kukudeva, Maria Doneva. Well, I can prolong that list for hours.
Yeah.
Because I have many, many favorite living Bulgarian poets.
Uh-huh. Your work enjoys international perception, particularly in the Anglo-American world. Most authors from Central or Eastern Europe are completely ignored there. They don't get translated. Why is it different for you? Is there a specific reason why you're simply lucky? What happened?
Maybe the reason I get published in these countries.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe I'm famous there. No, I'm not. But I get published there because I translate my short stories and novels into English. And now I have written one novel in English directly,
mm-hmm.
and one short story collection that has just been published in the United Kingdom.
Uh-huh.
I have to confess, however, that when you write in Bulgarian, you forget yourself. The short stories write themselves and the novels write themselves. When I write in English, I have to constantly think about not grammar, but editing is very, very hard.
Mm-hmm. What made you decide to switch languages?
Because translation, literary translation, is so difficult. When I write something, I feel, well, maybe happy, maybe angry, but I feel I live. When I translate, I think about a word for a week. I could write something for a month. I translate it for 2 years. Because I always think that you can say it better. Very difficult for me. It requires love for the words and enormous passion that I very often lack.
So, but then who translates these books into Bulgarian then?
Nobody will. They are not translated in Bulgarian.
Okay.
Uh-huh. I will not translate them because I better write something. When you write, you say to the world, I haven't given up. Writing is my way of believing that nobody has crushed me.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the German edition of Malwurfs Blut. It's your first book in German, although you have been published in other countries and territories. I think before that, one could only find your stories in magazines and anthologies. So how did this book come about? Did Petya Lund from ETA find out about you, or was it a recommendation by a translator?
I have made Andreas Trettner's acquaintance many years ago in the first years of Bulgarian democracy.
Mm-hmm.
He was in Leipzig and there was a competition and he has translated some of my short stories, the short stories that won the competition. And now that he has translated Malwurfs Blut, I think that perhaps he has told Petya Lund about me. I'm not sure. I don't know.
And this is a collection of stories from three different books published in Bulgaria. I already mentioned them in my German introduction. And they were selected for this edition. Do you know what the decision was based on? Can you tell us about the process of choosing exactly these stories that went into this book?
I do not know how the selection process worked. Perhaps Andreas Trettner read the short story collections or Petya Lund has read them. I do not have clear information about it. And it is very interesting for me to see what short stories they have chosen.
Mm-hmm. So were there any surprises of you thinking, oh yeah, of course they chose this one, or, oh, interesting choice?
Everything was a surprise, yes.
Uh-huh.
Every story was a surprise. And I myself asked, why this and why not this?
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps when I see the translators, I hope to see them, I will ask them why. What was the main, idea that prevailed? So they chose one and did not choose the other one.
So the name of the book is Maulwurfsblut, probably one of your best known stories. I think the German English name is Mole Blood. Is that correct?
Blood of a Mole.
Ah, okay. Mole.
First, the short story was published as Blood of a Mole, mm-hmm, in Antioch Review, a literary magazine of Antioch University in the United States. And then it was acquired by a literary agency for this anthology of short stories to be used in the process of teaching of junior high schools in the USA, which was quite a surprise to me when they contacted me.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, I liked it a lot. I don't know if it's representative for all of the stories, which are, I mean, and they are very different, because it starts off like very ordinary situation in a shop, and then strange things are happening. So the kind of gets absurd, and I think it's, you also kind of understand why it's used for school books, because I think it's very good for interpretation. Yeah, I think you can read a lot of things into the story.
Yes, this short story is perhaps most widely read. The other short stories are quite different, although there are some absurd elements in most of them. Some of the stories are very realistic, others are strange. It depends, as I say, on the mood and on the time you have for the short story.
Mm-hmm.
The less time you have, the stranger and more absurd the short story is.
Okay.
Because the short story feels uncomfortable within this limited time. It is like a pressed human being. If you press somebody, then he will not feel at ease, and the short story does not feel at ease, and it sounds strange.
Yeah, the stories are very different. However, there are recurring themes and motives, I think. And you already mentioned your hometown of Pernik, that lots of stories are set in or close to Pernik. So it's a small town area, or sometimes it's on the countryside. Why do you come back to Pernik? Just because you know the place very well, or does it kind of exemplify life in Bulgaria?
Well, I think that there are two reasons. The first reason is very prosaic. I mean, you write, you look through the window, and then you see different things which find their way into the thing you write. It is like drinking from a natural source. It's clear water that you drink. It's not necessary to buy a bottle of mineral water. And the second reason is that I believe, I know these people inside out. I travel with them to work from Pernik to Sofia and back every day. I have friends on the train. I have friends in the building where I live. And when you know something, you feel like swimming in a lake you know. So, or writing about a place you know makes it the more interesting when you see something unexpected, something unnatural. You can compare the unnatural with the natural flow of life. And it is, to me, is like finding a nugget of gold covered with ordinary stones.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer to be in a place I know, and knowing it makes the unknown seem not only more attractive, sometimes more scaring, other times more enticing. And it makes you want to write.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, this is the explanation. That is the reason why I do that.
Something else quite ordinary is the weather. And I think the weather is important for most of your stories. One of your short story collections is even called July Stories. So the summer heat, also the snow or the cold can be found in your stories. But somehow, at least that's my impression, the weather kind of shapes the characters and their actions. Would you agree?
Very often, I feel the weather as a string of thoughts flying in the air. When it is warm, you can imagine a tired person thinking about his life, about his ambition that can go wrong and can become a crime, or about his love that is destroyed by the heat. On the other hand, usually when there is snow in a short story, I don't know why it happens, but snow is a source of hope for me, for my readers and for my characters.
And most of these characters are women. This probably doesn't only have biographical reasons. Is the life and everyday life of women a topic that has long been absent from Bulgarian literature? At least this is something I can imagine. Or why do you keep coming back to female characters? Also gender issues play an important part in the book.
Female characters, well, very attractive, very fulfilling, and full-blooded female characters have been created in Bulgarian literature by such writers like Blaga Dimitrova, Kerana Apostolova, Kristin Dimitrova, Teodora Dimova. So female characters are very well represented in Bulgarian national literature.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe because I have many friends, many women friends. I work with women. And very often when I write, their presence in my thoughts, in my mind, is obvious. Their words and their thoughts find their way into what I write.
So, of course, you deal with a lot of topics in your book and in your short stories. But for me, there's actually one, maybe even main topic or central theme in your text. And it's also quite interesting because we kind of come back to the beginning of our conversation. For me, the main theme of your books is money. Primarily the lack of money, the worry about a secure future. People are in a state of dependency due to money. And I would say that in most of your stories, money and blood streams, and I think lots of times they are connected, define the stories and the characters. Also, poverty or the lack of opportunities mean that in many of your stories, people are leaving the country, leaving Bulgaria, especially to Western European countries. So yeah, money is something I think that you deal with in basically every story, I would say.
Mm-hmm. You are quite right. In my stories, there are people that not only grab money, they lie, they are tricksters, they ingratiate themselves to the high-standing persons, and they have turned their life into constant bowing down before the strong of the day.
Mm-hmm.
But my short stories would like to show, and I as a writer would like to show, that there are people strong enough to oppose not only those people, the strong ones of the day, but they can oppose the people who lick the boots of the strong of the day. So perhaps this is the reason why the topic of money is always present.
And this kind of leads to my last question for our conversations. You already mentioned people that oppose, and although your characters deal with economical problems or family issues, they never seem to give up. They're not passive victims. And some of them even take revenge. Revenge plays a part in a couple of your stories, I think. People do something unexpected, so it kind of gives them agency back. They're not hopeless characters. They try to have a better life or to flee from things that bring them down. From everything you said, it seems very important to you that you talk about characters that do not give up and are not passive.
When I meet such persons, I build very strong friendships with them. And I write about such people and about such characters. First, for myself, to say to myself that you should not give in. You must not surrender. Yes, you are weak. You do not pull strings, but you've got thoughts in your head and you have strength in your hands. And then I hope very much that what I write tells the readers that weakness is just a limited period of time in their lives, and that these people, not only characters in what I write, that people who read, they're stronger than weakness. This is the reason I write, to say or to show that there is nothing to be ashamed in the fact that you have fallen down. There is nothing to be ashamed that you lost hope, and nothing to be ashamed of the moments when you crawl. Because after crawling, you will stand up. I don't know if I succeed in doing this, but I always tell myself in times when I'm broken down, come on, tomorrow the weather will be sunny again. Even if it rains, you will stand up. That's it.
I think it's nice words to end this conversation and the podcast, dear Zdravka. Thank you so much for talking to me. Vielen Dank.
Thank you so much.